from PRX.
Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, whatever, you know, whatever alignment you, whether you're in alignment or, you know, if you have been out of alignment my whole life, I was thinking of alignment in role-playing games. But you say, well, I'm going to play, yeah, I'm role-playing a person that doesn't understand when they talk about alignment, when they talk about my vehicle, even though I kind of understand it. And I say, well, it's that's fine. I'm used to my steering wheel being, you know, like, I know the car will go straight if my steering wheel's at a, you know, it's at a 30, you know, whatever, 2 p.m. And then I say, what if, like, they say, I'm out of alignment, you're out of alignment. This whole role play is out of alignment. Anyway, I mean, it makes me think of Stars too, but I say, yeah, my star, that's what they say when I go to talk to somebody and they say, you're out of alignment. And I say, I know. I guess that confirms it. Thanks. Do you charge... And they say, no, it's a flat fee. And I say, okay, well, then I might as well stick around. Why don't you tell me some other stuff? I don't know. Anyway, oh, if you're confused, and why is there all these empty pauses? Those pauses were actually empty pauses. They weren't even pregnant pauses. Well, you say, what are all these empty pauses doing here? And this confusing banter. Well, welcome to Sleep With Me, a podcast that's here to keep you company and take your mind off stuff while you fall asleep. I'm so happy to be here to help and to keep you company so you could get a good night's sleep, because you deserve a good night's sleep. And I've been there, and a lot of other people listening have been there too. Now, the show is very different. It does take a couple times of listening to it to get used to, because then you realize, oh, it takes a while to realize, oh, I'm only kind of barely supposed to listen. I'm not supposed to do anything, but I could just barely listen to you, but I don't need to. So I'm really glad you're here. What we got coming up is support. That's how the show comes out. Free choice week, then a long meandering intro that's meant to ease you into bedtime. And then we'll have our new series, A Journey into the World of Friends, about friends making a role-playing game about a journey into the world of friends. And I think that's it. I mean, as far as I can remember, so I'm so glad you're here. I work really hard. Oh, no, welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. And these sponsors are how we're able to do it for free twice a week. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus with just a few questions. If you're new to this show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answer to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like, you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like, I do need, like, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place, more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It is time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast where we talk about the deep, dark night united. We're all in this together. And sleep with me depends on direct listener response. There's a lot of people who really depend on the ad-supported show because they can't afford to pay for the ad-free version. And this is where we generate that enthusiasm for the people that are doing that, making it possible. Oh, boy, this is a big one. I want to thank Laura, who ordered a Helix Midnight, took that Helix quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep, ordered a Helix, let Helix know about it, let me know about it, and that is a big deal. Helix is one of our longest sponsors, and so thank you so much, Laura, for supporting Helix, for taking that Helix quiz. I really, really appreciate it. So if you want to hear your voice, your name on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, check out one of our sponsors, take a quiz, download that ZocDoc app, check out Air Doctor, check out Progressive, our new sponsor, Odoo, PolySleep, Helix, whatever it is. After you check them out, let the sponsor know about it. Let me know about it, especially if you support the sponsor, because then, obviously that's what they're looking for. But even knowing that people are interested in them and taking action is huge. So I appreciate everybody that does that. And you know what? I know now as a fact, there's so many people that appreciate it too, that are really, really thankful because they're getting ready to fall asleep here as we wind down the show. So thank you so much for taking action. And if you do that, you want to hear your name on the Sleepy Supporter Zone, I forgot. You fill out the form at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. Second part of the Sleepy Supporter Zone, you getting the support you need right now. There's links to resources if you're having a tough time. You could connect with, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying Stop AAPI Hate, not just saying Support Ukraine, but taking action, learning more. There's a couple things we've been doing this year. Supporting the Trevor Project. We were supporting the Orlando Park Stop fundraiser. You can still use their link, orlandoparkstop.com/charity, to support the Trevor Project with one-time or monthly support. Or you can join us in building the hygiene kits for the Midnight Mission. Use a link in our show notes. And that's it. Well, Mr. Bard, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster, some sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at Jonathan Mann. Song for you, any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want. Sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. By the way, most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me, Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Just use our link, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleep phones, and use Sleep With Me at checkout. What do you say? We slow it down and get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts on your mind, thoughts you're thinking about, thinking thoughts about the past, the present, the future. So thoughts, on your mind that you're, coming up over and over again, or that are just there. So thoughts, feelings, anything you're feeling emotionally that's coming up for you, related to the thoughts or feelings that are just there, feelings that are remaining from the day, or are anticipating something, or they're just baffling. Could be physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, whatever it is that's keeping you up. The reason I go through some of it, I could go through, sometimes I go through more, sometimes I go through less. But the reason I go through it is because I want you to know you're not alone in the deep, dark night. It may feel lonely. And I don't know if this podcast, I mean, it just tries to create this spirit where it might feel lonely, but it doesn't have to feel, you know, it doesn't have to feel so lonely. Because I'm here to take your mind off stuff. But there's also tons of other people listening right now. And the reason I make the show and the reason a lot of people listening and they're leaning in right now is because they know how it feels. And I might not know exactly what you're going through. I may have never been through it before, but I can probably relate to how it feels. And if I can't, I bet you there's someone out there who can. And we just know, like, it's not easy, right? It's tough. It's a tough thing. But, you know, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep. So I know how it feels, and it's not easy. But it's also the fact of the matter is that you deserve a good night's sleep. Like, you deserve a place you can get some rest, that you don't have to stress about bedtime or dread it, where bedtime could kind of feel, you could feel neutral about it or even look forward to it. And that's important for me, too, because if your life's more manageable, it means you're going to have more, you know, like if you, oh, you get the rest you need, your life's going to be more manageable. And then you're going to have opportunity to do stuff. And that means our world's a better place. If you're out there doing stuff and being you, and not the best you, holy cow, is that, you know, that's the kind of pressure I don't particularly go for, I mean, for myself. So I'm not worried. I say, if you're just, you know, like you say, well, I'm going to do a pretty okay version of myself today. That's pretty great, beyond great, in my opinion. It's a best life ever or whatever. Be my best self. Well, that's, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I could do that because if I'm trying to be my best self, then it's like, that takes me out of being my pretty good self. So performative, I get that perform. Like I said, well, then I got to, you know, oh boy, am I being the best? Oh boy, today I'm being the best person. I'm the best at pretending I'm being my best today. So let's just leave it at that. Best performative day, performing as the best day ever. At best, I'm best at that, but I'm not really best at it. It's just covering over a vague sense of that I better be. So I don't know. Oh, what was I saying? Oh, I know how it feels in the deep, dark night, and you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why I make the show. That's got some of the stuff that goes through my between my ears, right? And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, and superfluous tangents, all to keep you company and take your mind off stuff so that you could fall asleep, to be your friend in the deep, dark night. A kind of distraction, a low-stakes distraction that's outside of yourself. So whatever's keeping you awake, you say, well, I could listen to this person. He's obviously, like, has some, he's got some quality imperfection going on. A high-quality imperfection. Highest quality imperfections sold at this store within me. We've talked about this before, like, where you can buy the clothes, regular clothing. He's got, you know, I think I've said that, like, I've got a regular clothing and sizes on the inside too. And I actually am happy about that, but how's that? So that's kind of where creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders come from too. My voice is not traditionally soothing. I don't really get to the point. I'm kind of drifting around. And that's other things when you're new, everybody really that's listening is so glad you're here. Right? My regular listeners, everybody's fishes and pets, they're so happy because you're welcomed in here. We're glad to see you. And people are padding spaces that are within their vicinity, but, you know, at a distance where you could feel comfortable. And they say, hey, go ahead, take up one of those spaces if you want, or just look at it from afar, because we've been there too. And so a couple of things that take you some getting used to, though, like I said, like one, you're probably doubtful, skeptical, frustrated if you found your way to this podcast, because you probably tried a bunch of different stuff. You've probably paid for a bunch of different stuff. You've probably gotten advice, and maybe that's how you searched or you found the show. or you heard about it, and you say, what is this thing I'm listening to? And that's an understandable, that's how most people, what most people think when they listen. So the show does take some getting used to. It takes two or three tries. It's just what most listeners say before you realize, oh, one, this is a podcast I just barely listen to. I can kind of just nod along or vaguely, you know, I have a vague sense that you're talking, but I don't know what you're talking about. I have a confidence that you're going to be here talking, but I'm not sure I'm confident in the content of, you'd say, you're probably one of those people that someone that says, I like the cut of your jib, they don't say that to you. And I say, no, because I have an irregular, if I had a jib, it would be irregular. I have the boy with the irregular jib, that's what they'd say about me, but, they'd say, is that Jif? Is your jib covered in Jif peanut butter? And I'd say, yeah, I was hoping, I realized after I started doing it that, it was not going to help with the, it's funny, you know, it makes dogs like lick their mouth more. It's sticky. Also not great for, you know, I thought, you know, I just started doing it. I knew, yes, that is, yes, that is peanut butter on my jib. Or that most they'd say, I don't like the cut of that jib, son. Also, it's covered in peanut. Usually they'd say, how is that? Wait a second. Is that peanut butter on your jib covering your jib? It'd have to be a lot for someone to notice. So maybe that's what this podcast tries to do is turn that around and say, wow, is that peanut butter on your jib? Holy mackerel. That must have taken a lot of work. How'd you do that? And I say, well, you know, one spoonful or knifeful at a time. Actually, I used a silicone, whatever those things are called, to get when you try to get cake out of a bowl, cake batter out of a bowl. And I used that. Wow, that's a great idea. What about one of those things you spackle stuff with? I thought about that, but it wouldn't fit in the peanut butter jar. Wow, that's impressive. A jib covered in peanut butter. Holy wow, never seen it before. And smells great right now. And that's what this podcast, that's the spiritual version of this podcast, or the spiritual idea, you know what I mean? That's what I'm looking to do here, is set up so that could happen to you with your own self-talk at some point, or the way you talk to somebody else. You said, when I told you, you know, whatever, tighten up that jib. I didn't think you'd tighten it up with peanut butter, but obviously you had some kind of vision, not the same vision as I have, but it's impressive without a doubt. And luckily that wasn't a regular jib, so it was a practice jib, so it's fine. And this is actually like whatever, it's a jib on an artist's installation in a landlocked area. So no wrong ideas. That's kind of what this episode hopefully will be about. Not content-wise, but that the characters believe. Okay, so whatever I said, I don't even know. Oh, you don't really listen to me. Then I went on a tangent about, that's why you don't really. You say, okay. Does he even know? Is that a saying? I like to cut of your jib? I don't know. Is there more than one way to cut a jib? I think it's how tight you have it, whatever. It's not because you trim a sail, right? Huh, interesting. You trim a sail, but you cut a jib. Do you slice a spinnaker? This is my sailing-based puns. I'm out of them already. What do they call that? You call from a crow's nest, I would believe, or you call from a crow's nest. And, you know, don't dally in the galley. There you go. That's it. That's peak. Sleep with Me has finally peaked. The golden age is over. That was it. An accidental pun. Like, I'm hungry. Please don't dally in the galley. Okay. So now there's rare moments where I feel really like you could probably even sense that there is some sort of smug satisfaction, even though it was an accidental pun that came out of nowhere. At whatever part of my brain came up with it, I said, wow, that's decent. I don't know if that's a pun, but it rhymes and it's amusing. Okay, so don't really listen to me, though, like, because that stuff happens once every 1,000 episodes. maybe best case. So that, I mean, it won't be happening. It'll be a while. Next time I'll say, don't dawdle in the galley. No, don't, waste time. Are you perpetually in the galley? No, that doesn't work. Are you, should we rally in it? No, that doesn't work. Galleys are too small for a rally. Sally in the galley, that just rhymes. It's not actually, it doesn't fit. Okay, so this is a podcast you don't listen to. Believe it or not, it doesn't put you to sleep either. I mean, you believe that? I'm here. There's no pressure to fall asleep. The reason the shows are designed to be over an hour is so that there's no pressure to fall asleep. There's people who are listening who can't sleep or who need a break during the day. And I'm here to the very end, whether you're awake or asleep. And that's what ends up kind of working. It's like, oh, I don't need to listen. I don't need to worry about falling asleep. And then I can fall asleep. I don't understand it either. I've just been doing it for a long time. So no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boy bae, your boy sib, your boy bud, your boy best, your neighbor. Just to take your mind off of stuff while you fall asleep. To be your Borby. Your Borby with your peanut butter jib. And so those are two things. Other things that can throw people off, other than most people don't like me. Oh, if you loathe me, it might be a little late. You don't have to let me know. You could just go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. And there's tons of other sleep podcasts and sleepy stuff on there you could use. Because I still think you deserve a good night's sleep, whether you like me or not. There's a lot of people who don't like me that listen to the show on a regular basis. So it could work for you. But if it definitely isn't, try one of those other shows. There's a lot of great stuff out there. Structure of the show also throws people off. But it's a reason there's a show structured in the way it is. Show starts off with a greeting. Friends beyond the binary, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So you feel seen and welcomed in, you say, okay, I might check that out. Then there's an intro. Oh, no, then there's support, so the show can be free. Then there's a long, meandering intro that some people miss out on because they don't like the support, and then they try to fast-forward through the intro, and they think the intro is part of the support. But the intro is a show within a show. It's about 15 to 20 minutes long. And it's like what the most people listen to, because for some listeners, they skip it. For some listeners, they fall asleep. But for most listeners, it's what eases them into bedtime. It's what buffers them having their daytime and going to sleep. Eases you into bedtime, like a slow landing or something. Because that's what's been shown to work. So you could listen to the intro while you're getting ready for bed, while you're doing some sort of other chill activity, doodling. I wouldn't recommend peanut buttering a jib anywhere near bedtime. That, no peanut butter in bed. I mean, I think that's, or jibs. I mean, unless you're with someone named Jib, whether a human partner or some sort of pet companion. I mean, that's a good name for a pet. Almost most pets could be named Jib. And you say, this would be a typical Life in a Sleep With Me fan. They'd say, what's the name of your cat, dog, fish, type of pet? It's Jib. Oh, Jib, are you into sailing? No. And then you start giggling as you try to figure out, no, I listened to a sleep podcast and he was talking about peanut buttering in a regular jib once. Then he was trying to finish up the intro, and then he went on another tangent about naming pets Jibs. Not Jibs, but, if you had a bunch of pets named Jib, you'd say, I'm surrounded by a bunch of Jibs. So that's why my pet here is named Jib. Is it a capital J? No, actually, I like to do a lowercase J, too, just to make it even more confusing. Wait a second, did you say this person knew about regular, did they get a discount when they bought the irregular jib? Is that why they peanut buttered it? I don't know, I fell asleep, to be honest. All I know is I think that's what he was talking about, but he could have been talking about something else. Okay, interesting. Nice to meet you, and nice to meet you, Jib. And then the jib would, look. I mean, I think that, I'm not kidding. I'd say that's a pretty decent pet name. if you were gonna for dating, some part of my brain said, well, Jibby Poo I think would be good. So yeah, I guess you could use that. Okay, so what was I saying? Oh, the intro goes on and on and on to ease you into bedtime, but it's also different every time because I truly believe, even if this makes me the Don Quixote of jibs, that, I mean, which pretty much in this situation, they line, I mean, my jibs misaligned, but that's how, I think that's how we got on this subject. Can you believe all these tangents came out of talking about alignment? So holy mackerel. But, to ease you into bedtime. Oh, it's different every time because it's my belief that whatever part of us keeps us awake, it's kind of craving our attention and it adjusts. So if the intro is the same every time, it just wouldn't work. That's my belief. That's why I put so much work into the show because I believe in it and I believe in the goals of the show to make you feel at home and put you to sleep. And I put my heart and my soul into this podcast. I do take it extremely seriously, but I have a lot of fun with it too. So that's why the intro goes on and on and on. Then there'll be support again. So the podcast could be free or paying for it is optional. And then there'll be a bedtime story tonight, or episodically modular series, Journey into the World of Friends. And then there's some thank yous at the end. So it's the structure of the show. It's when I make the show. I'm so glad you're here. I mean, especially tonight, all these regular listeners and new listeners. I mean, that was fun in a fairly sleepy way, peanut buttering up those jibs. So I'm glad you're here. Appreciate your time and work really hard to earn a shrive, and I hope I can help you fall asleep. So one more time, thanks again for coming by. And here's a couple ways we're able to do it for you for free twice a week. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, welcome to our ongoing episodically modular series, Journey into the World of Friends, which is an episodically modular series, which means you can kind of listen to it in any order. The characters are going to kind of do the place setting and set everything up for us. So, yeah, you could listen to the first two episodes. This is episode 3, I believe, when I'm recording this, of Journey into the World of Friends. And, yeah, so I'm glad you're here. What else do you need to know? Yeah, I mean, just listen to it. This is, like, even if you listen to this as a one-off episode, particularly this style, it's just going to be friends sitting around a table discussing a game and making a game and kind of playing the game. So, yeah, it'll be fun, and, yeah, let's just see how it goes. And now, to set everything up, our Hollywood announcer, Mr. Antonio Banderas. This is the Friends Beyond the Binary. This is the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's time to be in a world of friendship. Hippie, hooray. Yeah. Wow, I feel like I feel like I'm a sphere, like a, I don't know. I thought I was going to say something about like a moon orbiting your planet of friendship joyously. Welcome to Journey into the World of Friends, everybody. Thanks and good night. Okay, hey, this is me, Hemwata, wizard. And friend, and I'm just going to run through my notes. I'm glad everybody looks great. Glad everybody's here. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot. Eleanor, you're going to take over. So go ahead. I know we've done a lot of work that is coming together. Go ahead, Eleanor. Yeah, hello, I'm Eleanor, and I'm a nurse, healer of the Three Florences, and I'm here as, you know, in an interesting position as we both discover a world that we, like, I don't know, we're trying to put these pieces together, and I feel like I'm in-world putting these pieces together. And we could be anywhere in that world, but we're together as a party now. And we had some tasks that I wanted to run through, and then we'll kind of pass it around the table. And in a more informal style, I'd like to try just as an experiment. This isn't like the best. It's just I feel like we have a lot of material to go through and even more supplemental material. That we may not even get to. But so we left off. We had each been kind of doing different tasks. Let me just run through the tasks from last week. Was Zell had been working on the world. I was working on the villain, which were kind of complementary. Lord Von Chill and Granada of Darmok were working on the towns and rumors and party motivations. And Emwata kind of was working on more of the campaign specifics and the first encounter. And it's interesting, like where we left off last week, according to my notes, and this week is we needed to make sure there's credible challenge or threats, and that there's a villain or like opposition creating that situation. And we started off kind of the week, and my notes kind of progressed through the week, looking at kind of getting the party to choose a side, which is kind of developed, but where we left it when we left off, kind of the beginning of our work, was that maybe there'd be three sides. The park itself was going to become a force, which, and again, fits in with what interests us about this park and as adventurers. The Baron or the Boyle could be one choice the party may align themselves with or be motivated by. And then lastly, we had the idea of other leader, magic council. We weren't sure. And then we asked, like, again, how is this kind of a character we've been working on, this opposition leader to the Baron or the Boyle, an opposing force? And Zell, do you want to take it now or later? Okay, I'll keep going. Okay, so we thought that they were maybe a magic user, maybe they're some sort of, which I learned later is called an artificer, but we were thinking some sort of mechanical person. like someone that could have power over machines. And that kind of, to be honest, that idea kind of fell by the wayside, though we did do more supplemental research that I don't know if we'll get to this week, thinking about that. And then we kind of went into, again, these were just our basic discussions as the week grew on. Don't worry, everybody, we will get to the no bad idea section, which was kind of led by WADA, Granada, and Lord Von Chill. That is not supplemental material. We may not, don't worry, we will get to that. I see you moving in your seats. But first we got to the point of like, okay, so what do the players want? What does the opposing force want and the representative of the opposing force? And if this, also the idea, and again, I was one had frame, if someone not of our group is playing this campaign, when it's finished, obviously, like, could they choose their own motivations? Like, are we building out characters with a specific backstory on a rail? And I think we kind of all decided, also in the vein of no bad ideas, that player choice would be interesting. But again, that the DM, this would create a situation for a DM to either improvise or prepare once they know who their party is. Because at first we were like, okay, it could be adventure, fame and fortune, or fame or fortune, loyalty to the Baron of the Boil, loyalty to the park, maybe some other opposing force. And then we got back to the town, and who wants to take it from here? Granada, Lord Von Chill? Yes, this is Granada of Darmok. So we thought about, if first, what we did earlier in the week, if we're progressing, is using the Oracle for the DM to, and I don't think we returned to this, actually, so this is great that we're discussing it, is the Oracle, they don't remember what we talked about last week, but that the Oracle would be, or the Oracle figure we're using as an Oracle, it was Sultana, which was some sort of mechanical thing which is imbued with magic, and I think it's important to know that, like, the DM would be able to choose what kind of magic that was, so there is some flexibility in there. You know, is it powered by the park, is it a representative of the park, or is it a representative of some other magic? But at first, the DM could also use the Sultana to determine what does the party want. But later in the week, we kind of decided, and I kind of forget. So we'll return to that. But that's where we started out. Like, maybe they even talked to the Sultana. What do you most desire? And we also came back to this idea with Leader X. Is the Sultana warning them about Leader X not to be trusted? Also, is Leader X listening in to these conferences with Sultana? Is Leader X influencing Sultana? Like, has Leader X just been sending people on pointless things? What do we got? Then the idea also came, and I guess we're somewhat undecided on this, it's good to have it as an optional thing, again, for lower level party members, or maybe the parties want to level up from 3 to 4 or 5. But what started at the beginning of our research and idea pitching as a mechanical, like childlike being that had left the world of friends, and was visiting at only certain times the waterside. And we kind of played around with them. We're a little bit unsure in how that would play into the party motivations. And again, how do we do this, or how would the DM do this in an efficient way? Because our party is already kind of projecting itself into this first and second encounters, without it detracting from the game too much, right? But also, it's really cool. It's cool ideas, so we like it. And we'll return to it later in our discussion, but that's it for my report currently. Okay, Zell, why don't you come in, because this is about the world and the opposing force. This is Zell. Okay, so we definitely were like, I don't know where we left off, but that basically whatever's happening in the park, well, I'll just go with what we have, right? And then it develops from there. Okay, so we knew that this force that's not the Baron of the Boyle, former partner of the Baron of the Boyle, was where I think we left it off, who had helped, stop this, made a, what seemed like a battle more velvet, but brought the Baron of the Boyle into power, was this central water exchange area, which was probably powered in a way and built in a way that it could last without very much maintenance, but was very well protected and where all the water passes from the north into the southern regions. Now, I don't know if this is where we were last week, but that this whole thing is just a distraction in a sense, or a perk of what is actually happening. And it was the idea that this opposing character would be a magic user and go back to the actual lore of the park and what we experienced as adventurers, that there is this well or portal to another magical realm underneath the park that has leaked out and brought parts of to the park to sentience. So it's a world that is not our own, or a power that is beyond our understanding. And so that actually what is happening is because so much of this, that there's a large amount of water in the way. So now this whole thing of controlling the water is also because this character needed to remove water so they could get to what was underneath one of these lakes or canals or something, or drain. Well, I guess later Wada came up with the idea of draining some of these natural swamps. Yeah, it says here to open up some secret passageway. Otherwise, this leader would have kind of helped quietly kept the peace. But now they want to drain certain areas to get to this. So I don't. We don't have a total way. A connection to that. Well, I guess we kind of have a motivation, but not a connection. Now, the downside, the generalized downside of that is if they do that, not only will they think they'll achieve a power, they'll also awaken a powerful source of non-goodness beyond the imagination of our world. Okay, then we had a note of like, is this something we have to witness as a part of the party motivation? That also makes this idea of a credible threat, right? And and then it became the timing of this, but idea of a high tower where they could see one of the swamps or a southern lake or a canal. And then again, then we came up with this idea of the Baron of the Boyle, which kind of ties nicely together. I don't know. Do we lead right into that? Let me see the next notes. Okay, actually it led us into kind of getting to know this, who this wizard was, of how they would have this power, which we'll talk about in a minute. And so this also kind of goes, ties back into the park as one of the choices of who to work for. And maybe each member of the party decides separately, because the park, I mean, in the history, in the real lore, in the real, we believe, a lot of us believe, and even in our own game, the park somehow has a mostly nurturing, whatever power is giving sentience to the park, it is it's not powerful, but it is kind of nurturing for the most part, or in need of kind and nurturing behavior. But it's also a kind of power that needs assistance by human means. It needs adventurers to help it and empower it. Versus, again, this outside force, both in our world, represented by this character we're working on, and some sort of external entity, which may or may not ever... this is just us as a storyteller talking about it. Does that entity... in this particular adventure, have to be acknowledged in a concrete way. And also the kind of world, you know, as I want to, I like to get into the some of it is like that, yeah, maybe the good, the park itself is like a cork, and the, like those corks that we learned about in like basic archaeology classes from the old, old world was that corks were porous. And, you know, we see it in trees and stuff like that, but so that some goodness could leak out. But the cork was corking something much more, much different. But somehow the goodness is what's leaking out mostly into the park and bringing life to the park. And again, a way that is, I mean, that kind of aligns with everything. Yeah, no, it doesn't quite make sense. We don't understand it all. Even the most powerful wizards in our world would say they don't understand. But yeah, what else? The park is real and alive, surrounded by living things. Oh, and to go back to this opposing force, they want to blow the cork off, and whatever's at the bottom of the jar also wants the cork blown off. And I think that's it for me for now. Who wants to kind of take Lord Von Chill? Yes, Lord Von Chill here. So with all that in mind, we arrived at the idea of us as backup, right? I thought we were going to get to the notes. Oh, it's coming up. Oh, wow, so I get to go through this part. Very cool, very cool. Okay, so, but overall, we came up with the idea that switching from, this is a new idea, right, that we are backup. So one of the things the Baron of Boyle assigned us was backup as to go in to find the Baron of the Boyle's son, who the Baron of the Boyle assumes is either somewhere in the world of friends trying to get to the this character or being held by this character. But the Baron of the Boyle has sent in three or four ships full of like transports, full of the Baron of the Boyle's troops, right? And we're just backup in case that doesn't work out. Now, we have our own motivations, obviously, and our own reasons to adventure. They all care. We're trying to control, trying to, okay. I don't recognize any of this stuff. But, okay, so... So then we came up with this idea that makes sense of starting to look at who is this that's doing all this? What are they up to? And the idea of them being a dragonborn, but not maybe knowing it, which again gets into kind of the uniqueness of our campaign in our world. Like, so not breaking any rules, but bending them. And maybe that this dragonborn, I mean, this is where everything sprung out of, right, is these other things, that they're being told a tale by some maybe false dragon or real dragon that is uncorked in this other world. And that the park and the water is what's holding them back. And then the idea that the water itself is one of the corks, I think that's an M-Wada thing. Okay, so that this would be person that considers themselves part like a anthropomorphized like a izzard being, right? And that they've always, so when we started to get into back to where we were, okay, this is somebody that's always played by the rules. They've always excelled, and they've tried to follow customs and beliefs. And so they've developed a very self-righteous and sanctimonious personality, but that's just sitting on top of this deep fear that they never fit in, because one, lizard beings aren't treated kindly, or they're looked upon as different. They're dragonborn, which isn't really a thing that's well known about, because there are the dragons are just the stuff of legends, right, in our world. So the idea that you could be a dragon, part dragon, is not something, but that would be a motivator for the character of, like, a disconnection from our world and dissatisfaction but that by covering it up, by being excelling at most things, playing by the rules, but then being self-righteous and sanctimonious when other people don't follow the rules, but then, you know, developing that kind of attitude. And that's when the idea came as a group. It was a really good idea of like, wait a second. Okay, so this, why would this person partner with the Baron of the Boyle? And again, with the Baron of the Boyle's son being a part of this, is that they were the Baron of the Boyle has been there. They've been the Baron of the Boyle's foundling in a sense. Or their sponsor or something. So the Baron of Boyle was like a parent-like figure for them or a patron, but not in either side of the nurturing side, more of like on the middle side. So they didn't give them this nurturing, but they did give them, they sent them to the best schools, then sent them to the best wizard, you know, wizard school or whatever, World of Sorcery, and invested in them and their potential and their skills. So the Baron of Boyle believed in them greatly, and maybe the Baron of Boyle was just misguided, not knowing they needed a little bit more loving and tenderness and understanding, or maybe, you know, maybe nothing could be done, but that also creates a tension with this character, whose name is Vidul, right? Vidul of the Boyle, but then we change it to Vidul the Green, and that there's this tension between Vidul and the Baron of the Boyle's son, because the Baron of the Boyle's son was not a wizard, and lived at home, you know, was schooled at home and stuff like that. So spent a lot of time with the Baron, which is also creates this interesting thing of in a hurry to get away, where Vidul became nearly equal partner with the Baron back in when they were running the underworld, right? And then as they like came up with this plan, I would assume that Vidul was a part of this plan to create the peace. But also at some point, unaware to the Baron of the Boyle, was this other plan had developed. Okay, now we switch tone. Wada, why don't you take over? Okay, we're kind of jumping around. This is kind of like, this was a basic brainstorm on farmland, or what party motivations there could be, for at least for our party, like the Lord Von Chill. That when this happens, Lord Von Chill owns a lot of farmland and will be, you know, very impacted by the lack of water. Also, maybe loyal to the Baron of the Boyle because of some sort of deal made. And Granada of Darmok is a part of this guild or underworld, so has a connection. So is loyal to the Baron of the Boyle in that sense. Or maybe even has some promise. We thought about Zell as being of the people that transport everything by boat through these canals, supporting those workers and people that work on the farms. Wada of like the curiosity of water and magic at play and the natural flow of water versus the current flow of water versus the need for water. And Eleanor, kind of the idea of the balance of the Florences and ensuring the balances of Florences. Okay, so then again, we go back to Vidul. This is a little bit repetitive, but yeah, like dragonborn or lizard person, but there's no dragons in our world. And this big reveal will be some sort of mist dragon spell that we've never seen in our world. Yeah, I think this is best schools, the rules. The rules were for those in power. But Vidul is smarter, but also very rich, or Baron of the Boyle is, but they could never fit in. Originally, maybe even the Baron tried to deny them and say, make your way, don't make your way as part of the underworld, but they wanted it and proved their way. And they definitely feel superior to people, rules and customs, They feel left out, maybe inferior, a little bit angry and pointless. Who am I? These are deep down questions. Maybe even this belief I am a bird, but like there are dragons. I mean, and again, this could be proven to be real and false, or, you know, maybe is this a real dragon talking to them or a false dragon? You know, whole thing about family and stuff like that. And okay, now we get into the next encounter, which I guess I'll keep going on. So the polywogs, because this kind of goes into this idea. So we knew that polywogs had a deal with Vidul to watch their territory for anybody coming in. It's a simple deal. You could have this territory outside of the ride in the loading area. It doesn't have any importance to Vidul. If anybody comes there, you capture them and you give them to me. And so, but so then the idea of our first encounter, one of the ways it could play out, or most of the way it could play out, is that we were captured, or we, you know, make peace, because it did seem very unlikely you'd have to do the giant toad and the two giant frogs. Even if a party was to get through that, then they would have the polywogs who have a setup on the inside. So it's like, will it be a peaceful negotiation? Depending on the party's skills, they could choose to keep battling all the way through, or to rest. I don't know. There's a lot of ways it could play out, but the one way, and again, we could adjust the story, but as far as the story goes, I think like them being captured, because again, if someone wants to blast through this whole attraction, they could do that. I mean, I don't know how successful that would be. But the idea, at least, of setting this up of like, okay, so then we're captured. Then we spend the night and there's other polywogs either in the room with us or in adjoining rooms where the polywogs are keeping us. But they're dressed differently than the polywogs that have us. If we could establish a magical or actual way to communicate with these other polywogs, they would tell us, hey, we're trying to warn these other polywogs, but, you know, we're so territorial. That's why we're here. Polywogs are hyper-local, right? So, like, these polywogs want to tell the other polywogs that this, like, the Izzard cannot be trusted, and that their swamp is being drained. And that's why they're here. They came to warn them that it was going to happen to them next, and that they can't trust the Izzard. And that's where they escaped from. And but then they were captured by these polywogs. And also they can't communicate, like, because they're hyperlocal, they communicate in different ways. So it's just one opportunity and again, depending on the DM, they could really make this like over the top, a trial or whatever. Or you could do like a sneak out and use them. Or you could negotiate and say, hey, by the way, we're able to communicate with these polywogs and you. And this is what we know. Like, are you going to keep trusting this Vidul or not? We really don't have something where they get caught. And right now they're being held for an interminable amount of time. And I think that can help, because it doesn't make sense for the campaign for them to get brought to Vidul at this point. So again, like, we could just keep it doing it. I don't know. That's like a little bit of area where it's like we would be forcing the player's hands somehow. Okay, so who wants to take Zell, why don't you take this? Like, this is all when we had our Nova. This is tons of stuff for the next few encounters and stuff like that. I have no bad ideas, concepts, ideas, rooms, no bad ideas. Because, Zell, you had one unique idea. Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be fun to do one-off shot campaigns or rooms. I mean, I know it's not time for that, but, I put pumpkin character and then maybe a holiday character. But, so that was one idea. Then, so you want me to just keep going? Okay, so then, what if there's another, some sort of other character, like an anarchy type that wants to just I'm just going through that. Okay, so that wants to get rid of the whole attraction. Maybe there's a cat person who settles disputes, or do we have to settle disputes? Some sort of mechanic, a positive mechanic who needs parts. So these are other possible quests within the rooms. Or a room full of all broken characters, baby berry poo. So maybe there's who wants to rally the ride to stop the duel. Maybe there's some humans that are in the ride, former workers, somehow. Characters who think they're people from the, have taken on the personality of the people that built the park or the mythology behind the park. Toy maker, a chaos character. There's that Mad Hatter, pirate. This was a funny idea, I think. Dancers that are in a group that's exclusive in something, and they have a leader, we heard about some of those. That was was that a belief system they had in the before time? That dancers were you danced to grass. There was dance offs, right? Dance duels. Giant walrus, who's grouchy and not nice, but could be useful. A voice of reason. Knower of all the ride secrets. Twins who repair and break rides. Prankster, pacifist. Ethereal beings, a leader who no one can find. I don't know what that says. We find a cache of old security items, laser beams or stuff like that. Knights, hidden rooms, laboratory. Or a wizard place where they're trying to, maybe something from the before time, or the wizards have something set up, other one, they had this, it was Desmond, was it? There was some sort of place hidden where this person Desmond lived who changed a clock or something. Third party. Some sort of other thing, reprogramming the rides, or maybe that's just happening, or it's a malfunction. Humans. Okay. That's, we had that. Tesla coil, acid, flame. Foam, security, lost archives, different things that people have made, to catch people, hidden messages, hidden map, noise, some sort of key or security pass, something that seems like it's good, whether it be a weapon or a treasure that's not, some sort of robotic, a combination of a suit or some sort of being that's a combination of beings, hidden vaults, control room, secondary control room, organic beings that have been changed by maybe the non-positive part of the park, or some sort of power source, robotic guards, reprogrammed dolls, or ones that have been taken over by ethereal beings, some other smaller villain that has to control of tech or other beings. We switch back. So does somebody want to take it from here, Eleanor? Okay, yeah, this was in the middle of the no bad ideas. This was an important idea that came up. Polywogs, we're not keeping people out of, so there's one entrance, so they have the secret door where they leave the people they captured for Vidul, but it's the rest of the ride is blocked off, right, and impassable, but obviously there has to be one secret way in, which we're thinking is actually the normal entrance to the ride. But when we finally negotiate, however it is with the polywogs, you're going to have to get this information or discover it, which would be really hard. They say, no, we're not keeping people out. We're keeping them in. Someone control magic, tricksters. We've kind of covered this. CLOWNs. Animated objects. Again, ones that are like been taken out of control or some sort of self-replicating code. Animatronics from other parts of the park that have come here. Like different characters, the child boy. And then, do we have, like, is there any things that involve puzzle solving, stealth, escape, like getting away? Is this the one part of the ride or the part of the adventure we're trying to sneak out? Negotiations is always a popular thing between two groups, trying to make them work together. Is there some sort of way we could use something within here, within the attraction or one of the rooms to sabotage the duel? Obviously, we have to find one of our main tasks. We're not even really tasked with stopping the duel, right? Is getting the Baron of the Boyle's son. So I guess that could be part of the getaway one. Parts needed, find parts or pets or lost item, missing parts. Repair something, or some sort of resource, and I think it would be nice too. I mean, again, in the spirit of our belief systems, like indirectly of like, what if one of the things is that we're allowing them to live in peace within this world? Because we do know, and again, as part of our discussions, like these characters can't really exist outside of their territory either. Like they have to live within their attraction for the most part, so that they could live happy and free. What else we got? Secrets. Oh, secrets from past, long ago. Okay, maybe we build towards some big thing between Vidul and the characters of the ride. Stop the war, save the ride, find a lost toy, factions of characters. What else we got? A lot of this. Okay, so then, Granada, do you want to take it? Okay, so we do want to, so again, we go back to this polywogs. If we work a negotiation with the polywogs is successful or whatever, we do want to get into the ride, obviously, because we learn that that's the way to get to where we're going. And again, I think we didn't establish that Vidul is using characters from the rides. The characters won't know this yet, or will they? Because if we go up on that tower, is that in the notes? I just want to make sure that we see, maybe do we see, but somehow, or with the child type thing, that we learn that that the parts of the rides are being built to do work for Vidul, because this is like whatever, draining the swamp, it takes a lot of effort. Okay, but they also tell us, the Hollywogs, they don't want to leave the load area. They just want to live there. The toys can't really leave, or the ride characters can't really leave the ride. But we don't need to go in there. We're happy where we are, and they don't really want to come out. But if they do, we've had conflicts. So, also maybe the idea that the toys can't really swim. I don't know. That idea came up. Okay. So then, we're back up. Okay. So show of strength fails. Does Leader X also turn on the characters, forces them to make a move? So that was basically, I'll leave that to you, Wada. Okay, so what if mechanical child, so now we're going back to these motivations in the town, is the mechanical child so this is the oracle versus the mechanical child. Do we need both? We haven't decided that. But this is still in the kind of, this is where the no bad ideas becomes, let's focus on the ideas. And so then it's like, does the oracle give them emotional quests and the child gives them specific quests? And so, if the, and then we started to think about, we did a lot of research on famous dragons, and what if one of them, someone of them could be an archetype for Vidul? So does the Oracle give them a goal aligned with their emotional needs of each member or the party as a whole? Maybe prints out magical cards of a person. So this, I think this was a good idea that we should keep is, like to like, again, to kind of jump back to earlier is like, oh, so if, Lord Von Chill sees farmland withering, he's going to be more motivated and sees like a sad person at the marketplace with nothing to sell that, you know, has to pay a tithe to Lord Von Chill. And how that affects, you know, someone that I might associate with, because then they have nothing to negotiate. So we see a farmer, a soldier, a boat captain, mother, child, a group, a town, feeling the impacts of this water shortage. And maybe there's even a subtext. You say, well, I don't know if a water shortage would be that bad of what we're seeing on the card. But that, because there's also this other force that's being released. And then the idea that the mechanical child is not a child, not a toy, like not actually, it's a projection. And it appears outside the gates, full moon. This is the idea we kind of basically came up with. It disappears if you approach it according to the troops and people in the town. But it's talking to itself. So maybe the characters have to use stealth or magic to approach and listen in. And then maybe going through our no bad ideas list, maybe the child or this character, whatever, that's what we're calling it, the child, kind of tells them the plight of some of the toys or the treasures or the secrets, the fact that they are working. So maybe there's some sort of exchange of information, but motivating information. Like, but I guess this doesn't make sense because the toys are actually working for Vidul. So they're leaving the ride to do that. So that is a hole in our logic that we didn't see earlier. So yeah, this is a projection of some toy. Oh, this was another idea. Well, again, this is not even a no bad idea. This is that, what if one of the characters in the ride has somehow learned like basic level of magic? Or found a magic staff or magic scrolls. So that's how they're doing the projecting. But basically, it's helping give quests based on the character's wants. So the Oracle would be based on the needs of the characters if we're getting that deep. And Wada, why don't you wrap everything up with the big dramatic reveal, and then we can get to working on stuff for next week. Okay, so, yeah, I think this is good. So, well, let's go through the assignments for next week is figuring out that thing with the characters, finalizing and locking in. Vidul, what's Vidul doing? What's the specifics that are happening? And, yeah, I mean, that shouldn't take too long. I think we're there, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but it has to just kind of be locked for now. And then the rest of us start working on the first room and what's going to happen there and kind of picking some of the ideas, but also thinking about like the overall story, because we're going to be needing to gather, where's the sun, where's Vidul, how do we get there, what are the obstacles in our way? So there has to be some also impasses or challenges or things we need to gather. Otherwise, why would we not just kind of blast our way through? And I think that's it. I think we're really into like gameplay now. And I also kind of promise like to like get a better idea of how this is going to end. So where we're going, but also to kind of keep that somewhat under the sleeve, you know. But basically, I think what we're saying is, do we need to see the ride characters working for Vidul or not? I don't think so, because maybe that's happening in a subterranean way. But I do think seeing this example of power. So maybe there is a tower or very tall trees that we're guided to, or that maybe there is just a tower that they use to watch the canals, and the troops are like, okay, today is the day at dawn when the Baron is going to send in the four ships with cannons or whatever, I don't know, or magic users to kind of tell Vadul, hey, just like, let's like, again, show force to establish peace. And maybe Vadul's even made an idea that, but that's why we're the backup. But then what we see is something that is mind-boggling, which I think it does, I agree for the story. I think this is a necessary component. It has to be some sort of mist dragon. We did try to find those spells. We haven't found something that fits. Like the meteor spell was the closest thing. That's a 9th level spell. So I don't know. Like, we still have to kind of get an idea of if that's pot. Like, because again, then later we face Vadul. Would 5th level characters be able to? So we have to kind of figure that gap in. But basically, there's 2 or 3 or 4 ships. And they're sitting outside of this pumping station, right, in these locks. And they've come from the south or the north. I guess it doesn't matter. But they're sitting there, and maybe they're even spread out. And then this mist dragon comes and just wipes them all out. And it's kind of unbelievable. But it's also the Baron kind of knew, suspected something. So again, now that's it. We have to go. So it creates, I think it is a story event that has to happen because, I guess it doesn't necessarily need to happen, but it would be cool. And it would also let us know what we're dealing with. And I mean, maybe in that sense, because it is so powerful, maybe it's more powerful than Vadul's level. Or maybe it makes the characters more cautious and realizes they're going to need a team larger than they'll need NPCs, whether they're from the ride or not. So I don't know. I guess we're open to figuring that out, too. So I think that's a concrete thing we need to research is what level is Vadul? Because we didn't talk about that. How powerful is Vadul? And how's this achieved? Obviously, it's some sort of otherworldly power. I mean, I guess it would be that whatever this mist that's infiltrating and giving Vadul advice finds some sort of artifact. But I think it also help if, like, really dialing in what level is Vadul. But either way, I think it should motivate the party to be creative and not just rush in, even though we're trying to prepare for people that want to play that way. So, okay, I think we're good. Thanks, everybody. I know this is a very character-only thing, but it's good to be with all my characters. Hopefully we'll have a meal. No, nobody wants. So we're not going to eat together as a team. Okay, well, how about next week we do? While we discuss it or after, okay, afterwards, could we have a snack before we go over things as a team? Everybody will think about it. Okay, well, everybody get some rest now and we'll go from there. Good night, everybody. All right, I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. I want to thank Paul, Jason, and Jennifer. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Helen, Marianne, and Jeannie. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. John M. and Gino. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Samuel, Christy, and Deborah. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Emily, Hester, and Kelly. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. Jill, Christopher, and Catherine. Thank you. Thanks, and good night. And Betty and Camille, thank you, thanks, and good night. Sleep With Me exists because people support the show directly on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, and we grow as a show by people kind of spreading the word about the podcast for free. Just let people know about it on social media or forums or whenever it comes up. You don't have to push it. Just bring it up, you know, when it comes up. And we've been able to expand our offerings over the past few years from 200 to over 500 plus episodes in the free archives because of sponsors like this one or Scoot's asking for support. Thanks and good night, everybody. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now, I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets season one, part two, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like seven episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do three seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So, yeah, like that's something we're looking forward to doing. And, yeah, that was episode one of that. or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do. And the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right, and building your playlists from that podcast app. So, yeah, thanks, everybody, for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback, at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support, support at supercast.com. And good night.